Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you'll begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Divine party advice: when invited, take the lowest seat. But there is a danger, because what if the host doesn't see you at all? What if the conversation is loud? If the host is distracted or the table's just too long, he might not notice you there. And then with shame, you may stay at your low place. Kick yourself for following Jesus' advice. Jesus tells this parable at a Pharisee's dinner party, and don't miss this, they were watching him carefully. Those expert practitioners of the Jewish law have their eyes fixed on Jesus, but not as the author and perfecter of their faith. They lie in wait to ambush him, to catch him, to find fault in him. And yet, by the time the meal begins, they're looking at themselves again, trying to gain the place of honor in this comical game of musical chairs that all of us play. And this is pride in action. Pride is deceitful. That means that it is two-faced. On the one face, it is arrogant and consumed with itself. Our hearts curve in on themselves to serve our own desires above all else and seek our own honor. That's why we are very afraid that we might stay in a low place. But pride's other face looks everywhere but at itself. It's actually insecure. It watches others closely, hoping to see that indeed we are better and more honorable than our neighbor, hoping maybe to catch him in something wrong so that we can exalt ourselves by sending them lower in our shame. The two things that pride cannot possibly tolerate, however, is to praise, honor, and exalt the neighbor, and to permit itself to be humbled. Pride refuses to see our neighbors as fellow sinners and therefore to forgive them as we have been forgiven. Likewise, pride will never consider itself critically to discern its own faults and its errors. And this is why pride cannot keep the commandments of God or even hear them rightly. Pride is destroying our fellow Christians, even as it eats us up inside. Because God's law is not given for judging neighbors while excusing ourselves, nor is it to tame our flashy pride into just a pious, false humility, a tamer pride. God's law is preached to us, dear Christians, to stop all the mouths, to humble us, to catch us in the act every time, and then, like the Pharisees, we can't reply to these things. God's law finds us comfortably seated in the seat of scoffers, and then it sends us in shame to take the lowest place. Jesus tells this parable to expose all of the many ways that our pride, my pride, your pride, prevents us from taking the lower seat willingly, unless somehow, through a trick, like Jesus says maybe, that it might garner us a higher seat really in the end. Now the surprise is that this kind of exposing and humiliation is for our good. It is good to confess our pride and our self-centeredness, to admit our insecurity and our obsession with looking at our neighbors. To be humble is not to be without sin. To be humble is to be a sinner who is no longer duplicitous, no longer deceiving ourselves before God about our sinful pride. That is to see clearly and singularly rather than two-facedly. And in this light, then, we see that God has not overlooked anything. He has blessed us immensely. He ought to punish us. He ought to keep us perpetually in shame and dishonor for all of our thankless, humble pride that scorns publicly all of the things that we really love and desire inwardly. Instead, he grants to us what? Safety and success. He preserves us from so much evil, and he gives far more health and wealth to us than we have deserved. We have no right to be invited to any banquets. Rather, he should leave us drowning in our inflated egos. But he doesn't do that. He rescues us, just as he healed the man with dropsy. And rather than leave us in a well, God works all things together for our good. Your Lord did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, a chair to be held on to. But he humbled himself to be born of a virgin, humbled himself in obedience to God's law, humbled himself even unto death, even the death of a cross. And he didn't do this to out-humble anyone. He did this for you, in your place, for your salvation. He was humble at all times in suffering and in life, and he took on himself your prideful sins, and he nailed these to his cross. The better and the more honorable man was humbled so that you might be raised up and might be exalted. He was killed so that you are alive. Even our great pride is swallowed up in Christ's humility. And this has been his plan for us all along, dear friends. He watches over those who are too busy watching others to notice their own peril, even. He humiliates us with his law so that he may raise us up with his gospel, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And he humbles us also through sufferings so that we would trust in him alone and not be taken by our own pride and in that moment forget all of his many benefits. The honor of Christ is that he alone is the Savior. He's the one who pays for sins. He's the one who raises the poor, prideful sinners out of their misery and into his forgiveness and his life. So, dear friends, seek that honor. Do not be too proud to be the jackass who's fallen into the well, because it is our Father's pleasure to pull you out. To pull you out, in fact, as his beloved sons. Just as he invites you to his eternal wedding banquet, up even to the head table, to be the very spotless bride of Jesus Christ. Friends, come higher. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.